May Krishna bless and protect my good friend, Shekhar Agrawal. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana, Canto 1, Creation. Chapter 19, The Appearance of Shukadeva Goswami. Text number 34. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sanidhyat Te Mahayogin Patakani Mahanti Api Sadyo Nashyanti Vai Pungsam Vishnor Iva Suretara Sanidhyate Mahayogin Patakani Mahantyapi Sadyo Nashyanti Vai Pungsam Vishnor Iva Suretara Sanidhyate Mahayogin Patakani Mahantyapi Sadyo Nashyanti Vai Pungsam Vishnor Iva Suretara Sanidhyate Mahayogin Patakani Mahantyapi Sadyo Nashanti Vai Pungsam Vishnor Iva Suretara. Please chant. Anyone else? Sanidhyat, on account of the presence. Te, your Mahayogin, O great mystic, Patakani, sins, Mahanti, invulnerable, Api, in spite of, Sadya, immediately, Nashanti, vanquished, by, certainly, Pumsam, of a person, Vishnu, like the presence of the personality of Godhead, Iva, like, Sura Itara, other than the demigods. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Purport by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are two classes of human beings, namely the atheist and the devotee of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord, because of manifesting godly qualities, is called a demigod, whereas the atheist is called a demon. The demon cannot stand the presence of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. The demons are always busy in trying to vanquish the personality of Godhead. But factually, as soon as the personality of Godhead appears, by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, or variegatedness, the demon is at once vanquished. It is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are in the list of his paraphernalia, and thus, as soon as a saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. One is recommended, therefore, to associate only with saintly devotees, so that worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. Trinadapi sunichena turadiva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harenama harenama harename vakivalam kalo nasyeva 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 gatiranyata. So, meditating on this verse, we can easily make it applicable to our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Those of us who had the blessed fortune to see Srila Prabhupada, we had the same realization that Parikshit is having regarding Shukadeva Goswami. Just by seeing Prabhupada, you were transformed into a whole nother realm. I have never seen, before or after Srila Prabhupada, anyone like him. I just never seen it. The way Prabhupada would move the limbs of his body, the way he would even drink a cup of water, and of course, his potent speeches when Prabhupada would speak. Everything about Srila Prabhupada is what this verse today is speaking about. We have every morning our Guru Puja. And Prabhupada instituted this Guru Puja. And it is to keep us unified, that this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And here is our leader. Here is our founder, Acharya. We must never forget. In fact, we are instructed every morning, Dayam Stuvam Stasya Srasti Sangyam, three times a day, I must remember and glorify my spiritual master. In looking at today's purport, I found some other quotes and purports to fluff out what Prabhupada is saying in the purports. So, in this first canto, when we studied chapter 13, there was a similar sentiment when Narada was instructing Maharaj Yudhisthira. Soyam adya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kala Rupo Batirno Syam Abhavaya Suradvisham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, in the guise of all-devouring time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious of the world. Let's read Prabhupada's purport. And you can see why I selected. There are two classes of human beings. Same thing he said today. Namely, the envious and the obedient. Since the Supreme Lord is one and is the Father of all living beings, the envious living beings are also his sons, but they are known as the asuras. But the living beings who are obedient to the Supreme Father are called devatas or demigods because they are not contaminated by the material conception of life. Not only are the asuras envious of the Lord in even denying the existence of the Lord, but they are also envious of all other living beings. The predominance of asuras in the world is occasionally rectified by the Lord when he eliminates them from the world and establishes a rule of devatas like the Pandavas. Krishna's designation as Kala in disguise is significant. Krishna is not at all dangerous, but Krishna is the transcendental form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. For the devotees, Krishna's factual form is disclosed. And for the non-devotee, Krishna appears like Kala Rupa, which is his causal form. This causal form of the Lord is not at all pleasing to the asuras. And therefore they think of the Lord as formless in order to feel secure that they will not be vanquished by the Lord. So, if we now go to the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we will see the same concept that there are two types of living beings. Dambo darpa bhimanascha krodha parushyam evacha agyanam chabijatasya partha sampadam asurim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance. These qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pritha. Prabhupada's purport to this verse. In this verse, the royal road to hell is described. The demoniac want to make a show of religion and advancement in spiritual science, although they do not follow the principles. They are always arrogant or proud in possessing some type of education or so much wealth. They desired to be worshipped by others, and demand respectability, although they do not command respect. Over trifles, they become very angry and speak harshly, not gently. They do not know what should be done and what should not be done. They do everything whimsically, according to their own desire, and they do not recognize any authority. These demoniac qualities are taken on by them from the beginning of their bodies in the wombs of their mothers, and as they grow, they manifest all these inauspicious qualities. Next verse. Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibandaya suri mata mashucha sampadang diving abhijatosi pandava. The transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with divine qualities. Purport. Lord Krishna encouraged Arjuna by telling him that he was not born with demoniac qualities. Arjuna's involvement in the fight was not demoniac, because Arjuna was considering the pros and cons. Arjuna was considering whether respectable persons such as Bhishma and Drona should be killed or not. So Arjuna was not acting under the influence of anger, false prestige, or harshness. Therefore, Arjuna was not the quality of the demons. For a Kshatriya, a military man, shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac. Therefore, there was no cause for Arjuna to lament. Anyone who performs the regulative principles of the different orders of life is transcendentally situated. And now, in this sixth verse, we see again the two classes. Dwau Bhuta Sargau Lokesmin Daiva Asura Evacha Daivo Vistarash Prokta Asurung Partha Me Srinu. O son of Pritha, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me of the demoniac. Prabhupada's purport. Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac way. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life. That is to say, they abide by the injunctions in scriptures and by authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture. This mentality is called divine. One who does not follow the regulative principles as they are laid down in the scriptures, and who acts according to one's own whims, is called demoniac or asuric. There is no other criterion but obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures. It is mentioned in the Vedic literature that both the demigods and demons are born of the Prajapati. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the others do not. Here are some more statements and purports which brings out some of the points Prabhupada is stating in his purport today. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila chapter 3, which is entitled external reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see this section. Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, the Puranas, and other Vedic literatures all give evidence to prove that Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Krishna. One can also directly see Lord Chaitanya's manifest influence in his uncommon deeds and uncommon Krishna conscious realization. But faithless unbelievers do not see what is clearly evident, just as owls do not see the rays of the sun. O my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you, although you are clearly the supreme, by dint of your exalted activities, forms, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness, and the celebrated transcendentalists in the divine nature. Purport. This is a verse from the Stotra Ratna, number 12, of Yamunacharya, the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. The authentic scriptures describe the transcendental activities, features, form, and qualities of Krishna. And Krishna explains himself in Bhagavad Gita, the most authentic scripture in the world. Krishna is further explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered the explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Lord Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by these authentic scriptures, not simply by vox populi, or public opinion. In the modern age, a certain class of fools think that they can vote anyone into the position of God as they can vote a man into the position of a political executive head. But the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead is perfectly described in the authentic scriptures. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that only fools deride him, thinking that anyone can speak like Krishna. Even according to historical references, Krishna's activities are most uncommon. Krishna has affirmed, "I am God," and Krishna has acted accordingly. Mayavadis think that everyone can claim to be God, but that is their illusion. For no one else can perform such extraordinary activities as Krishna. When Krishna was a child, on the lap of his mother, Krishna killed the demon, Putana. Then Krishna killed the demons, Finnavarta, Vatsa Asura, and Baka Asura. When Krishna was a little more grown up, Krishna killed the demons, Aga Asura and Rishabha Asura. Therefore, God is God from the beginning. The idea that someone can become God by meditation is ridiculous. By hard endeavor, one may realize one's godly nature, but one will never become God. The asuras or demons who think that anyone can become God are condemned. Then the statements of Krishnadas Kaviraj continue. The authentic scriptures are compiled by personalities like Vyasadeva, Narada, Asita, and Parashara, who are not ordinary men. All the followers of the Vedic way of life have accepted these famous personalities whose authentic scriptures conform to the Vedic literature. Nevertheless, the demoniac do not believe their statements and they purposely oppose the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Actually, this is continuing Prabhupada's purport. I made a mistake. This is still the purport. Today it is fashionable for common men to write whimsical words as so-called incarnations of God and be accepted as authentic by other common men. This demoniac mentality is condemned in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, wherein is stated that those who are miscreants and the lowest of mankind, who are fools and asses, cannot accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their demoniac nature. They are compared to ulukas, or owls, who cannot open their eyes in the sunlight. And because they cannot bear the sunlight, they hide themselves from it and never see it. They cannot believe that there is such illumination. So here's where Krishnadas Kaviraj continues. Lord Sri Krishna tries to hide himself in various ways, but nevertheless, his pure devotees know him as he is. O my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless, your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. Purport. This verse is quoted from the Stotra Ratna of Yamunacharya. Everything covered by the influence of Maya is within the limited boundaries of space, time, and thought. Even the greatest manifestation we can conceive, the sky, also has limitations. From the authentic scriptures, however, it is evident that beyond the sky is a covering of 7 layers, each 10 times thicker than the one preceding it. The covering layers are vast, but with or without coverings, space is limited. Our power to think about space and time is also limited. Time is eternal. We may imagine billions and trillions of years, but that will still be an inadequate estimate of the extent of time. Our imperfect senses, therefore, cannot think of the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor can we bring him within the limitations of time or our thinking power. Krishna's position is accordingly described by the word Ulangita. He is transcendental to space, time, and thought. Although Krishna appears within them, Krishna exists transcendentally. Even when Krishna's transcendental existence is disguised by space, time, and thought, however, pure devotees of the Supreme Lord can see him in his personal features beyond space, time, and thought. In other words, even though the Lord is not visible, to the eyes of ordinary men, those who are beyond the covering layers because of their transcendental devotional service can still see him. For example, the sun may appear covered by a cloud, but actually it is the eyes of the tiny people below the cloud that are covered, not the sun itself. If those tiny people rose above the cloud in the airplane, they could then see the sunshine and the sun without impediment. Similarly, although the covering of Maya is very strong. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi hiyesha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya, mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etang tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surpass the influence of the illusory energy is very difficult. But those who are determined to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord are freed from the clutches of Maya. Therefore, pure devotees can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But demons, because of their miscreant behavior, cannot understand the Lord, in spite of seeing the many revealed scriptures and the uncommon activities of the Lord. Now Krishnadas Goswami continues. Those whose nature is demoniac cannot know Krishna at any time, but Krishna cannot hide himself from his pure devotees. Dwau bhuta sargau lokesmin daiva asura evacha vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asura stud viparyaya. There are two classes of men in the created world. One consists of the demoniac and the other of the godly. The devotees of Lord Vishnu are the godly, whereas those who are just the opposite are called demons. Purport. This is a verse from Padma Purana. Vishnu bhaktas, or devotees in Krishna consciousness, are known as devas, demigods. Atheists who do not believe in God or who declare themselves God are asuras, demons. Asuras always engage in atheistic material activities, exploring ways to utilize the resources of matter to enjoy sense gratification. The Vishnu bhaktas, Krishna conscious devotees, are also active, but their objective is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. Superficially, both classes may appear to work in the same way, but their purposes are completely opposite because of a difference in consciousness. Asuras work for personal sense gratification, whereas devotees work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Both work conscientiously, but their motives are different. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant for devas or devotees. Demons cannot take part in Krishna conscious activities, nor can devotees in Krishna consciousness take part in demoniac activities or work like cats and dogs simply for sense gratification. Such activity does not appeal to those in Krishna consciousness. Devotees accept only the bare necessities of life to keep themselves fit to act in Krishna consciousness. The balance of their energy is used for developing Krishna consciousness, through which one can be transferred to the abode of Krishna by always thinking of him, even at the point of death. And in the purport, Prabhupada also mentioned something about how the chanting of the holy name can relieve us from ghostly influences. So there's two references. In the sixth canto, the Narayan Kavacha Shield, we find this one prayer. May the glorification of the transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protect us from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air. And may it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everybody. Finally, in the 10th canto, in the chapter where Krishna kills Putana, we have this statement. Evil witches known as Dakinis, Yatudanis, and Kushmandas are the greatest enemy of children. And evil spirits like Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, and Vinayakas, as well as witches like Kotara, Revati, Jaista, Putana, and Matrika, are always ready to give trouble to the body, life air, and senses, causing a loss of memory, madness, and bad dreams. Like the most experienced evil stars, they all create great disturbances, especially for children. But one can vanquish them simply by uttering Lord Vishnu's name. For when Lord Vishnu's name resounds, all of them become afraid and go away. Purport. While decorating the body with tilak, we give protection to the body by chanting 12 names of Vishnu. Although Govinda, or Lord Vishnu, is one, he has different names and forms with which to act differently. But if one cannot remember all the names at one time, one may simply chant, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. And always think of Lord Vishnu. Vishnor Aradhanang Parang. This is the highest form of worship. If one remembers Vishnu always, even though one is disturbed by many bad elements, one can be protected without a doubt. The Ayurveda Shastra recommends, Aushadhi Chintayet Vishnum. Even while taking medicine, one should remember Vishnu, because the medicine is not all and all, and Lord Vishnu is the real protector. This material world is full of danger. Padang, padang, yad, vipadam. Therefore, one must become Vaishnava and think of Vishnu constantly. This is made easier by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Kirtaniya Sada Hari Parang Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parang Vijayate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Thank you for listening very attentively. We can now open the floor for discussion. And I would like to ask, first of all, our lead driver, our temple president. I was speaking to Suvas during, before the Bhagavad Gita Mahayagya, that being a temple president is like being the driver of a car or a truck. And I don't know about you, but when I'm driving my car and there's a certain somebody sitting next to me, I get very agitated. because they're always trying to do this, do this, do this, do this. So I was telling him that you have to respect the driver. The driver knows what he's doing. Anyway, I would like to hear if he has something to add today.
First of all, thank you for a wonderful class. You made me think of a couple of things. Made me think that Prabhupada has told us that there's two important factors in developing love for Krishna. One is vairagya and the other is jnana. And then Prabhupada described that renunciation means that you do everything for Krishna. You cook for Krishna, you eat for Krishna, you speak about Krishna, you think about Krishna. Prabhupada said that's how he described renunciation. And then, of course, he talked about knowledge, jnana, and that is getting it from the scripture or the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord. And then you made me think that really everything that we do is for the love of Krishna. Everything. And that's the real ultimate. That is the ultimate that we're actually looking for, love for Krishna. And the watering process for that is Shravanam Kirtanam. So we heard from you this morning. Thank you very much for this Shravanam. And now we're doing a little Kirtanam. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Who else would like to chime in? Okay. All glories to the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Thank you.